Okay, this is a 15-minute talk. I'm trying to give a short overview. So, a pair of glasses. Look hard. Now, sometimes I have to double the glasses to see this. Okay, I'm trying to give an overview and a perspective. It's basically a complement to Dion's talk, but I'm giving and painting a much rosier picture, but I'm ready to defend anything that if you have any argument. Okay, first I want to say the people's impression of diamond cell or high pressure experiment, what can you do, what can't do, are mostly based on like a decade ago. Because the published data is mostly based on the technology like a decade ago. In the last decade, there are tremendous development, and also even more interesting is a lot of things on the horizon. It can completely change the field. And in the past, we think of the technique, the experiment, also high pressure experiment, or let's say the lower mantle and higher pressure, is technically limited. And the low precision and the reconnaissance study, but it could be right now. We could possibly, if this will evolve into, it's competitive with any experiment you can do in at ambient condition. Can be high precision. You can focus on the science instead of only look at what is technically possible. So I'm only mainly talking about this possibility and also giving an example of what. We really can do not today if you don't do any technical development. To just give an example of what happened in the last decade, for instance, people think that laser heating necessarily at very low precision. But the temperature gradient across the sample, as Diane showed earlier, if you have an opaque absorber on both sides, like a double hot plate technology, then basically you can eliminate all the temperature gradient through the sample. Of course, you still have to prepare the sample well, depending on insulation layer. But there's no technical, there's no real limit how uniform you can get a temperature. Then it's also what's the temperature gradient depend on your size. So if you have a very large size, then the temperature distributed over the light size, then if you look at a very small area relative to this gradient, then your temperature gradient could be very small. So there are two developments. One is to develop a very large, inexpensive diamond anvil. The other way is to go to very small sampling size. To do actually diffraction, typically in the past we talk about 10 angstrom to 50 angstrom, and to 10 micron to 50 micron. Now, the synchrotron, thanks for the nano technology development, the micro beam to 400 nanometer is routine. So if you have a polycrystalline sample, the crystal size is submicron, but not quite to 10 nanometer size that Dion was talking about, then you could use single crystal diffraction. If you have bigger crystal, smaller crystal, you can use a poly diffraction. So there's a way to do that. And then also, thanks for the microanalysis analytical technique, Dion mentioned the FIB-TEM method and also the nanoSIM method. Those are potentially you can analyze something substantially smaller than a micron. So in the past that you need to synthesize sample of millimeter size, now you could do analysis of submicron grain size. And in the past, we couldn't do much about the elasticity rheology measurement other than equivalent state. Now this became possible, and also you can have unlimited vector. Try to put a vector there if you are messed up in the K. Different direction, because diamond cell you can use a transparent seed, use a cubic boron nitride seed, or you can use a transparent gasket. And you can use transparent gas made of boron and krypton and all combination. And there's development of X-ray spectroscopy. You can have access to many other interesting phenomena. And with the larger anvil, you will be able to do the other half of the Nagel technique in the past we couldn't do without millimeter size sample. And then we stand to integrate all this above. So basically now we can focus on the science rather than technique. And this is a list of, I just tried to put it together last couple of days and while listening to the talk. And like we focus on commander boundary reaction and the what happened in the mantle. So this is a very good time for the interdisciplinary collaboration. And let me give you an example of the geophysical parameter people think of, or the elasticity and rheology part. A decade ago, we could only probably get the first two or three, that the volume, the unit cell parameter and the bulk modulus, and then that we, for compare with seismic velocity, we have to calculate V phi, this some relation with of density and bulk modulus. But now basically you can get all this property with the combination. I'm not going in detail of the detail the technique, but this is just over view of if there's a specific problem you're interested, we can focus on that. Again, this is a diamond cell, and the many different way of development, including this diamond cell, is very open, and you can using different angle to that, you can have a very a complete analysis of the different angle, and use synchrotron and neutron and a couple of diamond cell with shockwave and the magnetic measurement. This is a very big picture. Let me give you an example that one notion people has is that iron melting is a mess, and there are a lot of argument of a melting curve that how act like the melting temperature. But that is only when you plot the first determination. It necessarily that when people did the first experiment, it may not be the correct one. And the first experiment Ronnie Bola did was very low melting curve. But if you look all the publication recently, very hard you can find one deviate from this curve by more than 100 degrees, up to 100 GPA. Above 100 GPA, there are uncertainty because basically only one or two groups have done that. But certainly it's not technical limited. If we really want to focus between 100 and 200, I think we can get the similar accuracy here. Some new development, many different type of synchrotron related technology, and one important thing is to develop a much larger anvil. In this case, we want to use CVD growth and make a single crystal larger, and the epitaxial growth of this. And so what we have succeeded compared to the previous one was in the past the growth rate is 1 micron per hour. That means if you want to grow 1 millimeter, that takes 6 weeks of constant, very uniform plasma with CVD method, which is not possible, not economical. But now we get to 100 to 200 micron per hour. So that means in one day you can grow several millimeter a diamond anvil like this, and we have used that to for experiment to 200 GPA. And this diamond, as I said earlier, it's not a very perfect diamond. It has a defect, but it basically has a rocking curve of like a 22nd of an arc. It's equivalent to natural diamond. Type 2 diamond, but the strength, when you S grown, the toughness is this, the plot, this is Vick's hardness, this is the toughness, and the toughness is harder than, it's much higher than natural diamond, and with similar hardness. And if you're near it, it can become harder than natural diamond. So depend on the particular application. toughness usually is, say, if you want a partial diamond, this diamond is very difficult to polish, but you can indent that. But if you anneal that, this diamond became very difficult to indent. If you use a natural diamond as indenter, you break the indenter every time. Okay. Certain experiments you cannot miniaturize, like a neutron. A neutron, you need typically a millimeter size sample. It may push to 100 micron, but the data will be very poor. So to meet halfway there, we could use the next generation neutron source. We're building an instrument at the splitting neutron source at Tennessee. That one will be ready in 2008. That one's supposed to be order of magnitude more intense than the current most intense splitting source. Meanwhile, if we have a larger anvil, and we should be able to push 100 GPa for the neutron experiment, that can measure like hydrogen. Neutron is particularly sensitive to deuterium, and also magnetic property and all the complementary part that actually cannot do. Okay, so the way I see it is now, we need to take a two-pronged approach here. First, amino physicists need to interact with physicists and chemists to complete this technological evolution and the development, which just started, has not been completed. But there's a lot of technique already been completed, already can apply. So we should also interact with seismologists and geochemists and geodynamicists as in this meeting, and to actually solve a set of priority of the real Earth problem. And many other techniques has reached the point, it's mature that the newcomer can learn if you focus on specific problem rather than try to solve all the problem like I mentioned, this large diamond or the newer spectroscopy and so on. If you focus on one thing, it's quite reasonable. You can solve this problem in a couple of years. So that means I'm making a pitch that hopefully that we can have some collaboration. Someone from other field will actually put in a couple of years solid work, then I think you can do this. Let me give you a couple of examples. And this example is the subject we talked about last couple of days. One thing is the high spin, low spin transition ion. And this study was mainly driven by Jimmy Basil. He was a graduate student from France. That time he came to our lab. That time we were developing this emission spectroscopy at high pressure. So we used this method to get the high spin, low spin transition in FES. Afterwards, he just take this over and he did FES, FEO, high spin, low spin transition. This was done at Advanced Photon Source. Then he went back to ESRF, to Europe, continued that FE203, and continued with magnesium-wolfstein last year. And at this point, he's no longer collaborating with us, but that's a well-done project. So you could, if you just focus, he was interested in high-speed low-speed transition. And he was a physicist, and before this, he wasn't really, I think earth science was very interesting, but now I think he is. Okay, another example is Kei Hirose from Tokyo Institute of Technology, and this is an article that Dion also referenced earlier. And before he came to our lab, he had done nothing about diamond cell, but he has a good petrology background, and he started work with us on using double-sided laser heating. In fact, in that experiment, he managed to make five-layer sandwich, like two aluminum foil, and then have this mold basalt in between, so the temperature was very uniform, and did that work. And then when he went back and he built a group there and continued with the two very nice work, as you know, the one referenced recently. So this is the range of things that we can do now, and the technique list there. And so basically, I would say now this field is open, is welcome anyone interested in solving a particular linear physics problem. I think the collaboration or this discussion like this will be very helpful. Thank you. Yes.
You didn't mention the design itself. This is why the diamond experiments with the mechanics of the mix the cell of the leaf, complemented, how is it?
You say how?
The designer cells.
Designer anvil? Designer anvil, when you say designer anvil, that refers to a specific, say, electrical circuit put in a diamond anvil. That's what you're talking about. Okay. That certainly is a good way to do something, but there are many other ways to do the similar thing. So, how many different diamond cell design? There are probably at least 100 different ones. And so if you talk about that, if you ask whether that designer cell is a good design, I say yes, but it's waiting to be proven because so far I haven't seen any result come out of that yet. So I hope that people get interested and actually we can have some collaboration. Yes.
Right. Right. Protected, you're optimistic. Well, we have heard a lot of issues raised here that seem to be a challenge. For example, understanding melting under hormonal boundary conditions. Are you actually saying that that's viable now?
I would say it's viable if you have focused effort. It's quite solvable. Just like, again, I'll give an example. Kei Hirose, he started from piston cylinder background, and so he was working with Martin Anvil, with Faye and this diamond cell with us. So his measurement is quite accurate in that case, and he knows that when you load cell, which one is good, which one is bad, and you can easily make a bad experiment. But this also is possible to make a good experiment to have a temperature. If you say you want temperature accurate to 100 degree, I think it's quite doable. If you say 20 degree, that maybe push a limit, but I think it's limit is worth pushing. I mean, to 100 GPa, Coleman bounded condition.
The only thing you didn't mention was radiative transfer.
Thermal conductivity at very high pressure.
Yes.
Yes. That's a very good point. I mean, you talk about thermal conductivity.
Electrical conductivity is on the list.
Yeah.
But thermal conductivity for insulators is hard.
Thermal conductivity for insulator. You have a radiative heat transfer. You can measure the spectra, right? And you have the insulator thermal conductivity, the phonon part, you may do some calculation, but it's indirect.
Well, yeah. But you need to know the scattering.
The scattering. Yeah. This is a subject that I think everything here. I could argue that there's a good way to do it. That the one you caught one that I haven't had a solution, but I'm sure that many other physicists will have some solution there.
And that one's important.
Yes. I'm not saying that. And another one is in rheology, the viscosity in the real measurement of viscosity. We can measure the deformation, but not the viscosity in a very long time scale. Again, these two are both very important for geodynamics.
Do you have any thoughts about the relative importance of dynamic techniques? Now, of course, in geophysics, everybody thinks shock waves, but there are other methods aside from the conventional shockwave method that Sandir used with
the Z
compression and so forth, mainly for molecular materials. But the question is there something that could be done that would be of value in geophysics on materials like iron and perovskite?
I think so. I think there are many techniques, the shockwave also, but I'm trying to, this one look very long list, but still limited. I'm not talking about the thing out of my expertise, but also for shockwave, like when we're building the synchrotron HPCAD, in fact, we leave the last large hutch for laser shock experiment.
Yeah.
So we're thinking that way, but how far can we push it is a bigger known. Okay, so far I'm talking here are all known. At least there is a clear step you can go there. It doesn't mean that we take that step because it's just too many things to do. But for shockwave, it has great potential, but some of it doesn't have a clear steps.
There are laser-driven shockwaves, are super high.
Yeah, that's the main problem with laser heating. You tend to get too high a temperature.
Yeah. But there's also a way to cool it down to make it not so hot. But yeah.
Sure, but I mean the technique is still very young, and so we're still trying to get the bugs out of it. But certainly that is the way that we're heading.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that the large volume multi-angle presses will get to significantly higher pressure than 25-30 GPa?
Okay. The diamond cell, the pressure is limited by, the volume is limited by the size of anvil. The multi-anvil is not really limited by the strength of the anvil. If you just change, you replace your tungsten carbide to sintered diamond, the pressure increases slightly, but not very much. The reason is multi-anvil, the limit is really geometry. The large chamber in there, the advantage, it has the advantage of having large chamber, but it also has disadvantage. Once your anvil touch each other, then you can the gasket thin out, then the pressure, so the loading curve is always flattened out. That's the geometrical limit. So even you replace with the hardest material, at the end you only compress the anvil itself. So that's the intrinsic limit. If you want to reduce that limit, what you can do is you reduce truncation. Instead of, say, normally people use a 3 millimeter or 2 millimeter, and for the 50 GPa range, people use 1 millimeter truncation. Okay. If you use, say, 100 micron truncation, you can get higher pressure, but then the volume becomes smaller than diamond anvil. Okay. So it's a geometrical limit. Compared to that, diamond anvil, actually you have two flat surfaces, so there's no geometrical limit of how far you can advance. There is a limit because the diamond cell deformed and became cup. It became toroidal anvil. So in fact, we try to reduce the volume by cutting additional angle to it.
Okay.